back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Podcast. We got the man who's been on here twice, and I know it's twice. Chris Levine's in the house. Thank you for coming back on.
Of course. Thanks
Both
for
times
having.
This guy does not understand. It's really late night when he comes on here, so he has to keep me awake. I don't know how he's managed to do it twice in a row, but keep me up late. Thank you, Chris, for doing that for me.
Yes, I am not sorry. Stay up for Chris.
Yes. His new film, No Way Out, is in theaters, I saw, and he'll tell you at the end of the show where to find it on streaming.
Yeah.
So let's start at the beginning. You're a writer now again.
You know, it's funny with No Way Out. I wrote it before Anabolic Life, and it was an actual Bigfoot movie because I was like, man, I just think Bigfoot, if they do it right, I think it's scary, man. It's this thing that can just destroy you while you're camping. That's scary to me. And then I worked on it for years and years, and we made Anabolic Life first. And then I built a rapport with the team in Alaska. And they said, listen, we can't get funding for a Bigfoot movie. People think it's cheesy. And I was like, all right, what do we need to do? And he was like, well, remove Bigfoot and switch it around a little. So I had to rewrite it. And it's not – so No Way Out is not the exact movie I wanted, but it still came out pretty good.
So let's back this up. You went to Alaska.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you're a California kid. You know it's cold up there, right?
I was not ready.
So what did you bring that you shouldn't have brought, and what did you forget?
Luckily the director who lives in Alaska was kind of like, Chris, these are the things you need to bring, you know, like to layer up. And I was like, well, layers, I feel like I'm going to start sweating. And he was like, no, you're not going to sweat with layers here. You're going to be fine. And so, you know, I brought the leggings and I got wool socks and stuff like that. And I learned that cotton is bad because it holds moisture. And you know about that in Canada, right?
Like, we do. That's why I'm laughing at you already.
Yeah. So you guys are used to this winter thing. I knew what to bring. Did I bring enough warm clothes? No. Can you ever be warm enough when you're camping at a high of 25 degrees? I don't know. Probably not.
So I'm laughing. As a Canadian, I would have told you to come up here in like February, and you still wouldn't be ready for Alaska, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
So
yeah. It's cold there, huh?
Just some tips in the winter. These things called hot pockets. I know Californians think they're a drink. They're things that go in your hands and your feet, and they keep them warm.
Do those work?
They work. I'm a mailman, and I use them all winter. Like, and so they work great.
Cool.
I'll know that for next time. So,
I'm going to Alaska next month.
Are you really?
We're shooting another movie there.
So let's back this up. How did you get hooked up with some people from Alaska? You're a California kid, like I just said.
Yeah. When it was a Bigfoot movie, for some reason I wanted to shoot it in Alaska. I just wanted to get out of LA. I wanted it to look more like a movie not shot in LA, because most independent films that try to be like in the woods, you can tell it's LA forest, you know? So I figured if I didn't have a lot of money for the movie, at least people won't think it's in LA and it'll look beautiful. And so what I did was I had an assistant at the time Google any kind of production or film with the word Alaska in it. And I had her reach out to maybe 25 people. 24 of 25 people no longer do film in Alaska. But that one, was like, hey, yeah, I do production design for all the commercials that come out here, and let's just create a relationship.
So that was that easy? You just send an email, kind of like me going, hey, you want to be on my show? And you're like, yeah, and then it works. But
yeah.
But how do you coordinate a shoot? I mean, you're in LA, you're going to Alaska. So when you show up, this guy's got everything ready, or did you have to do some work?
Yeah, well, when we started pre-production, I had a few rules, right? I said, I need to make sure – I brought a few actors from LA with me, and I said, we need to be – warm, where I want to be sweating at night, and I want to make sure that we're eating really good. And both of those things did not happen. It was so bad. It was so bad, man. Like, the places we were staying were kind of half-built cabins with no insulation, and we were just using room heaters. And, like, even in room heaters in LA in the winter aren't warm enough for me. So never mind in this high of freezing with snow on the horizon. So we were freezing the whole shoot. The food was terrible. It was a nightmare, but it was an adventure.
Well, I hate to interrupt people when you're talking. As a Canadian, I'm going to suggest sleeping bags. Okay. Right. Any clothes that are dirty, put in your sleeping bag.
Oh.
As insulation.
Right.
So you got dirty underwear, socks, shirts, put it as insulation. So it's like an extra blanket. Yeah.
Smart. I didn't think
especially on the bottom of your feet. So stuff it in the bottom and stay warm that way. And your feet will get cold first and you'll be fine.
Oh, yeah. So, but this time I said, hey, none of this shit. I'm not freezing, man. We need legitimate heaters. I need to be able to, like I said before, I want to eat well and I want to stay warm. So hopefully it's okay.
Maybe it's been a weird question. Have you ever heard of Vancouver? Like northern BC? Yeah. It's not too cold there.
No? Oh, isn't that like right after Seattle, it's Vancouver?
Yes. Right? If you go a little bit higher, they have mountains and forests and it's not, it does get cold. They do get snow, but not Alaska cold. So maybe you want to move just a little bit higher in Canada. And we do offer film credits for actors
and
things.
You guys do. Yeah. So, you know, actually, you could be my connection. When are we making a film?
I just do interviews. Just interviews. So you wrote this. So why Bigfoot of anything? Like, why not something buried in the deep and you accidentally trip over a rock or have somebody say an incantation and this giant monster pops out and eats everybody?
I don't know. I think when I wrote it like that, you know, it's been like maybe 4 or 5 years ago when I wrote it, I just felt like they never gave Bigfoot the right chance. I felt like it was always this cheesy Sasquatch monster that people kind of made it. People look crazy when they were searching for Bigfoot, you know? But I just thought like if there was something deep in the woods that had human-like characteristics, but strength of like this, you know, whatever this mix is of ape and whatever, I think that shit is terrifying. It's so terrifying going camping and not worrying about like a guy with a mask or whatever, but something that's supernatural in a sense, you know? I just thought that was always so scary.
Okay. So you phone the guy in Alaska, you got Bigfoot gone, pitch his butt out, you got a new monster on the loose.
Yep.
Was that an easier sell to him then? Did you send him the new script? He's like, yep, I'm happy with this.
Yeah. I mean, as soon as I removed Bigfoot, they were ready to roll.
Now, do you get film credits from the Alaskan government or anything, or nothing?
No, because by the time we got financing, which, you know, took 2 or 3 years to get, the film credit had already stopped in Alaska, so we didn't.
Oh, that really sucks.
Yeah. Yeah, they got rid of it. I don't know if they just weren't seeing the reason to do it or not enough productions, because productions were going to Vancouver pretty much instead of Alaska, you know? But yeah, they don't do it anymore.
Fair enough. You have a lot. Everything in the film looks old. You have an old truck, an old house location. That cabin doesn't look too new. Is that where you actually stayed in the cabin, or is that just some random cabin?
No, we stayed in a worse cabin than that thing.
You're kidding me.
The one you see is we all at the end of the shoot were like, why didn't we stay here? But yeah, ours was worse.
Okay, so let's back up. How did you find the cabin location since you weren't allowed to stay there?
So that was part of it with the Alaska team is that they own all that land. So they have cabins for like people that come in to visit or things like that. There's also a full-time construction team there that because they're chopping down trees like constantly there. So there's cabins for them to stay at so they don't have to drive back and forth. It's like 2 hours from Anchorage, so it's kind of a drive from the city. So that's why those were there. And we didn't find out that there was no ability for us to stay there because people were using them.
So you were trucked in 2 hours every day? Or you were
We stayed out on that land in this half-built shed with some room heaters.
Sorry, I can't stop.
Yeah, no.
As I'll say, you're a producer on this film.
I am.
And you've brought these lovely friends from LA, say, hey, come film my film. We'll have some fun in Alaska. You show up, and they have room heaters.
Yeah.
Did the ladies want to kill you or your friend want to kill you?
Yeah, the two girls in it, one of them, Jen, who plays Nora in the film, that in real life, the other guy, Kyle, his name is Chris as well. They're actually married. So I think they were, she was just venting to him. So I didn't hear much of her complaining, but the other girl, she came in and I had told them prior. I was like, listen, we're probably not going to be able to shower very often during the shoot. You know, it's going to be like a real camping adventure. I was like, but, you know, we will have a roof over our head and things like that. But when she saw the shed and how cold it was in the shed, I thought she was going to leave. But she stuck it out like a trooper, you know, it was great. So they did complain. I think they were shocked at first because they weren't really expecting it to be that kind of ghetto. But you know, it was an adventure that none of them had taken before.
So that brings my next question. Do you like to camp?
No. No, you know, I like the idea of camping, like being out in the tent in the peaceful woods and watching the stars and things and like campfire and stuff. But I just never do it. So I don't love it. So it was a massive adventure for me.
Oh, maybe. Like, I just can't see. I'm still having problems with this boy from LA going to Anchorage, Alaska and freezing.
Yeah, I know. And then I'm doing it again.
Oh, you're making me laugh. Sorry. While you're on set, I mean, you wrote your script. You know what they're supposed to say, the actors. Do you get upset when they improvise, or did you guys improvise on set and you're okay with it?
So the director, Joe Hamilton, that was his director debut, and based on almost every morning, he changed the script. So a lot of the movie, a lot of the situations were improv in the sense that the director was like, I want to do this instead today, or I want it to go this way, or I want to film in this area of the woods, so this will have to change because of it. And at that point, I'm just like, I just want to be an actor. I'm already here. The producer-writer side is done. You know, so if that's what you want to do, I'll leave it in your hands.
Hang on. You wrote the script. How could it be done? Let's back me up to that stage because you're the producer, you're an actor. I get that. This is your baby. Yeah. And you're like, I don't care what I wrote. You're fine with that?
You know, to me, it happened on Anabolic Life too. And so you have two choices as a writer and an actor filmmaker, right? You can hold strong to your beliefs and no matter what, this is the script that's going to get done. I don't care. And I'll wait forever for it to happen. Or you go, I have to be open to other decisions and the way the script will evolve because I want to get it done. And that's both times is what I chose. I chose to get it done instead of holding my ground.
Well, maybe that'll bring my next point. I did make a note on sparse dialogue at times.
Mm-hmm.
So was that because the director said, nope, we don't need dialogue here. We're just going to film and have you walking. You do a lot of walking, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And now, did you find a lot of your dialogue got left because of that? Because I found – it was fine with me because I've hiked. You don't really talk a lot on a hike.
No, yeah. I think it was a little bit of both. It was the us changing location and what we were doing and that didn't match the script. So instead of creating dialogue on the spot, that just would have been – BS anyways, we just said, hey, let's just keep it long. And it is, there are a lot of long shots in the edit because we didn't shoot enough. So sometimes you have to extend some things a little longer than you want.
Hold on. Let's back this up. See, I knew I was going to catch you on this. Long,
I know you're getting me.
The long shots are because you guys didn't shoot enough. Now that as a director and you're going, how do you know, did you know he didn't shoot enough at the time? Or you're like, no, we got everything.
No, well, actually what happened is that, you know, so obviously when we're shooting those long, like when we're leaving the cabin in slow motion and overcrossing like the horizon to set up some beautiful stuff, those were all planned shots because we knew they'd be beautiful. But the length of them was not planned because we had a whole day of filming that we lost.
Uh-huh.
And it was like it was actually a pinnacle part of the movie that we got scrapped. So now in the edit, we lost a whole day, which would have been at least 8 to 10 minutes worth of on screen.
Sure.
So now we have to add that to the movie that we have. So that's why those scenes are extended. Some people like it because they make them feel more isolated. And then, you know, some people are like, oh, these are a little long, you know, but.
Yeah. For me, I'm with you. I think they're a little long. So I'm trying to figure out what you were making up for in my head. I'm like, what's the point of these? Again, I don't have a problem with them, but I want to know why they're there. I see them.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, they look nice, but you've already showed me some. I know what the mountain looks like now. I know you guys are hiking. I got it. Now, let's. Why are we having these? Perfect. Nah, you're giving it to me.
Now you know. Yeah.
Now I know. So, do you, when you cast people in your film, do you do your casting, by the way?
Yeah.
Now, how did you know these people were right for what you were looking for?
So, I had been friends with Chris and Jen, who played Kyle and Nora, the other couple in the film. I had known them for years and years and years now, and I always spend, like, Thanksgiving with them and, like, special holidays we go and party together. So, I knew that they would be great to be on set with, because you have to enjoy the people you're with on set. And I knew that because they are really married in real life, that some kind of natural relationship stuff has to happen, because they're already in a relationship. So I knew that was cool, and as soon as they were down to go, I was ecstatic. Now some people I've heard, like, oh well, you know, their relationship in the movie, it's not like super cute, and they don't show a lot of passion to each other. They almost seem not in a relationship. But then I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, they're in a real relationship. They don't have to show that constant, oh, hold my hand and kiss me stuff, because they're not acting like this is how they are, you know? So it's realism of their relationship.
I would tell the people, it's not a rom-com.
It's not a rom-com.
So why are you watching it for that? I mean, I'm married. And
I know.
I mean, most people probably, I agree with you 100%. It's not a rom-com. Yeah. That's all you tell them. It's not a rom-com. Yeah. Like, why do you need to see that? No, I thought they did a great job. I thought everybody in the film looked like they were a couple. To me, it looks like they were freezing their asses off. Yeah, they're in a little bit over their head, and they probably shouldn't have gone here. And
that's
what I think you were supposed to see in the film. And if people are saying, you're telling me they don't feel like a couple, well, why don't you go out in the woods with your spouse and get lost and get confused and tell me how much of a couple you guys are going to be at the end of it?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, it's just a bizarre thing to say to somebody.
It is, yeah. And then for for Joanna, who plays Jessica in the movie, I hadn't really hung out with her very much. She was a friend of a friend, but I the one or two times we've hung out, she's very knowledgeable in film. Like, she's a smart woman. So I sent her the script before I asked anybody, and she was right away. She read it and loved it, and was like, "Hey, I'm down." So I didn't even, it was so easy for me to cast, because literally the first three people I asked, they were down to do it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great.
Now, you do some night shots and you do some day shots.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're already telling me you're cold during the day.
Yeah.
How cold are you at night? Because that temperature just drops.
It's brutal, man. And it was raining a lot of those nights, too. I think your body just goes, hey, I have a job to do. I need to get it done. The main scene during the campfire where things are happening and I leave and blah, blah, blah. We actually had a kind of like a 12-person tent off screen that had like a little like heater in it. And that was warmer than our actual where we were sleeping. So we'd be in there every time we could.
I don't know why you didn't sleep in there then.
We should have, right?
By the end of this film, are you sick of backpacks?
Oh, I hate backpacks. I hate the cold. I'm so done with everything at the end of this thing.
And what's in your backpack? I mean, it looked heavy from the film. Yeah, it looks like you guys have shoved something in there.
Yeah, it wasn't fake. It was the director, Joe, he really packed our bags like if we were really camping. So mine was probably 40, 50 pounds. The girls were a little bit lighter. I think Chris, I think his was a little bit lighter than mine. I think he wanted me to like suffer a little bit more as a joke. But yeah, it was fully packed. Everything you saw that we were using was from our own pack. So that was kind of cool. That was the realism side of things.
Okay. Speaking of realism, can you make a fire after this film?
No.
Come on. You spent all this time on set, never had to make a fire?
No, they had these awesome, like, propane tubes with little holes in them that you just light. And, like, they create that perfect fire.
Sweet.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet.
Speaking personally, have you ever got lost in the woods?
I have. one time, I don't like remember it exact because I was pretty young, and so they grew up in Florida, in South Florida. I moved to LA about 8 to 10 years ago, so I'm really even worse. I'm more of a Florida boy than a California boy, so it's even I'm even worse at cold and camping. And there was like a kind of like a park that was at, like kind of a peninsula park, like, you know, because it was surrounded by water in three sides of this park. And I had gone, I was young, probably 5 or 6, and my dad and I had gone, and he kind of disappeared to see what I would do. And I just remember freaking out, being completely lost, and like being this little kid just totally dying. And like, so yeah, so that's a traumatizing thing that 30 years later still affects me.
Well, there you go. In the film, we run into a second cabin.
Yes.
Now, you didn't get that cabin either from what you're telling me.
No, I didn't get that one either. And at the end, we were like, could we have stayed here? And they were like, oh, yeah, we could have.
Oh.
Yeah, that was one of those things.
Okay.
It was a great-looking cabin, the second one, right?
Yeah, I like the second one a lot. That's why I'm asking these questions. Now, I want to go back. Yeah. You said you were supposed to have good food on this set, and you didn't have good food.
Yeah.
And to me, that's a big faux pas on your part being the producer. Yeah. I have to blame you for this one. So what did you have to eat?
Well, the team that was there that went to Costco to get us at least just the basics of stuff didn't really get anything that we wanted to eat to begin with, right? And then our cook, he wasn't the cleanest cook that we have seen. You figure there's no real running water, and there just seemed to be no latex gloves in sight for him either. So some of the food, while the idea of what he was cooking was great, how it was made was questionable to all of us on set.
Okay.
But nobody got sick, thankfully.
I will come and cook for your next set with gloves on if that's what you need. I'll even wear a mask.
We're looking for a cook for Alaska next month. Let me know if you're interested.
Next month. Just tell me how many weeks I need to take off work.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry. How do you market a film like this? I mean, I don't even know how to say it. I mean, we know it's not a rom-com, and you're classifying it as a horror movie.
It's not a horror, though.
It's not a horror. I would call it I don't know if I'm going to get in trouble here. I don't want to ruin it. Mishap by Adventure?
Yeah, a thriller?
A thriller. I would classify this as a thriller. So when you export it to film festivals, do you put it in the horror genre or say, yeah, I think it's more of a horror?
I do, because there's not a thriller genre, and people love horror. So at least if you put it in that genre, we're going to get more people to see it. It's on a fine line, though, right? Like, if the kills that you see in the film, if we spent time, a little bit of time, just showing blood splatter or like a close-up, just an insert, which we didn't shoot because that was the director didn't want it to be a gore fest. But if we did, it could have been a horror film. It's on the verge.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think you would have gone over the top and ruined what you were going for if you did that.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because, I mean, okay, I'm going to get a little more technical here, people. So please plug your ears a bit if you're not. There's a certain scene when an actor is a little tied up. I'm going to try to be as polite as I can without really ruining anything.
Yeah.
And I think that works for what you were going for.
Did you like it?
I did. And I think if we squirted blood out in that scene, I don't think you would have got the effect you want, because I think it would have ruined the end.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
If that makes sense, because you would have to shoot the end differently.
Yeah, for sure.
And sorry, people, to ruin anything, but I think I've done as delicate a job as I can on this one.
I think they're still in the dark. Because, you know, even me coming in from third outside perspective, I'd be like, oh, I have no idea what they're talking about.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
But
it could have gone either way, though, right?
I do. Do you feel that your film has an ending? Because I feel I need an extra 3 minutes right there. Maybe even
you needed some more.
I needed some more. Now, did you write it that way to make me want more? To make me use my head for the answer? Or was there an ending you said, nope, we're not going to use that?
There was a little bit of mix. There was like a button at our ending. So it would have went title and then a button.
Yes.
You know, like a button, like a just small scene. that that I didn't want, and I because I edited it too, and like I saw it and I was like, nah, it doesn't go that way. And then as far as what you see as the ending, yeah, you know, I think it kind of matches the tone of the film of kind of like, we don't answer every question, probably not even close. Yeah, so we, you know, the whole time you're kind of going, what does that, how does that relate to that, and if it relates to that. And then you, at that last beat, we kind of do, we kind of, in case you didn't know, couldn't tell by now, you know, what the two characters are in together in this, you know. And so, yeah, I think it's a little mix of us not doing the perfect job as an ending, and then also us allowing you to kind of go, oh, shit, what did I, what just happened, you know?
Well, I want to be fair, people. There is no ending credits because I stayed for the whole thing because I figured there had to be an ending credit to help me out a bit. So you just told me you were the editor, which I did not know. How is editing your own film? Do you feel you want to extend your own scenes a little bit longer, going, maybe I could add a couple more seconds of myself, or maybe I want a couple more seconds of this, as opposed to letting myself edit it, who has really no stake in the film, and I would edit the way I want to. So do you find you favorite certain things as an editor, or you're like, nope, this is the way it should be?
No, because I'm a filmmaker, you know. The acting, the filmmaking has helped me be a better actor and has helped me push my acting career, which is the end goal. But from the beginning, I've always been a storyteller and a filmmaker and a writer and a producer. So I look at it from an, even in my acting, a lot of the times I look at it as an audience perspective, and I want to give you, the audience member, not only the best performance from everybody, but I never want you to watch it and go, that's a weird cut, or that's that. Or I never want the, as an editor, I never want you to be thrown off by what we did in the edit. So it's always to the story, to the film, progressing it at all times, you know. And sometimes you don't, sometimes I'll skip a close up on me because I liked what they did better than me in that scene. And that's just what it is. So for the story, always.
Did you edit the end credits, or was one of my best? I love the end credits when you introduce everybody. I thought that was a great job. Now
it's fun, right?
Yeah. When we were shooting that, did you know that was going to be your end credits, or that just came to you?
No, that just came to me. Because we did use that, you know, there's found footage elements in the movie.
Yes.
And I was just like, you know, it's kind of been a dark journey with everybody. The film is kind of dark in general, like visually, and like the story's dark, and there's really not many happy moments. So I just wanted to showcase them as who they really are in real life, and I think that's what came out there.
That's great. Okay, I'm moving on to fun questions. I think I've touched on all your big points without ruining a thing. Even though you almost caught me. Because you're back and we're in almost October, your favorite horror film?
One more time, it broke up for a second.
Your favorite horror film?
Favorite horror film? Oh, that's tough. I want to say Halloween, but that's kind of cliche because it's such a great movie. I'm also a huge fan of Alien 2. Aliens? Which is more sci-fi, but there's elements of horror.
Oh, absolutely there is. Your favorite activity?
Working out at the gym.
I can believe that from you. That's why they need to see your other film, because they'll totally see it there. You're an indie film guy. You edit, you direct, you write films, you act. What's your advice to somebody just starting out?
I would say, you have to make mistakes to be better. I would also say always treat your crew right and pay people.
And make sure the chef wears latex gloves while cooking. It's probably the other one.
Always meet your chef before.
Tell everybody where they can find your film, please.
So you can find No Way Out. Social media is at No Way Out Horror. And it'll be out on Amazon Prime. We're going right to Prime. We're not doing distribution. We're just going to put it out ourselves. And it should be on Prime somewhere around October, maybe even for a Halloween release.
Awesome. Thank you for your time and have a great evening.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page? Thank you.